recap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. The Olympics will be postponed until 2021. This according to Dick Pound of the IOC, who told USA Today that that will actually take place. I am glad. I am glad that we are at least not canceling the Olympic Games. We are just simply postponing them, allowing athletes to continue to train, work out, and get another. When we get back to normal, because we are going to get back to normal, and we get an Olympic Games next year, I think we'll really, really appreciate it. You know, it's one of the things that these kind of things, you know, when you have an event that alters the way you do life, right? You tend to, when things come back to normal, you do have a tendency to appreciate them, and you do have a tendency to see them in a different way. We see this in sports all the time, where the sports get shut down because of 9/11 or something along those lines, or locally because of a hurricane or something in that regard. And what happens is sometimes when it comes back, there's a moment of appreciation. And it lasts for a little bit, and then we go back to normal. But I think the Olympic Games will benefit from this. I think we hold it off. We go to Tokyo in 2021, and we may be looking back on the way, in a different world, in a different way we see each other, and in a different way we see sports in our lives. I always say, look, I think sports are important. I think they are a distraction, but I also think they are the fabric of, for a lot of us, it is the fabric of our, of the way we live our lives, what we root for, what we pay attention to, what we kind of, we allocate time to certain things, and sports is one of them. For some, it's a different form of entertainment, but for us, it's this. And when it does come back in the way it will, I think we will step back and really appreciate everything that we went through to get to this point. We'll mourn the ones that we lost. We will, but we will also cherish the ones that helped us through this. The hospital workers, the first responders, you know, all the people that helped made our lives through this really, really tough time easier. But when we get to sports, when it comes back, I think we all will step back and go, yeah, you know what? This is pretty cool. And the Olympics, where a lot of people feel that way anyway, I think is going to get a big boost in 2021. Right decision to do this. I think everybody agrees on that. They were kind of wondering where we were going to be, and maybe by summer we'd all be in the clear. But when you ask the entire world to descend on your city, I think it is the right thing to just wait a bit. And they did.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And this portion is brought to you in part by Hims, the best choice in ED medication and men's wellness. Visit forhims.com/easy. That's forhims.com/easy. Coming up in this hour, Josh Alper is going to join us. We'll talk some NFL with him. Also, we've got March Memories on tap. And this week, I still, Ron, have not come up with a way to sort of phrase some of the teams. I'll just tell you that yesterday we did Arizona.
Yep.
Lute Olson's climb to the top of the ladder, cutting down the nets. He had been a successful coach. He had a successful program, but never quite crossed the finish line, and then finally did so in 1997, had that one shining moment. You know, Duke has had many shining moments, so they wouldn't count in this. Here's another team that we're talking about this week, and that is Syracuse and Jim Boeheim. We're going to do the 2003 NCAA Finals when they beat Kansas, led by freshman Carmelo Anthony. Jim Boeheim has had a great program, success getting to the Final Fours, but crossing the finish line. So we're going to talk about Syracuse coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to chat about 10 minutes. We're going to talk about them per se. But I want to get to this, notion that's going around the NFL. It's amongst the conspiracy crowd on Twitter and social media that the Patriots will try to tank for Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Yes.
Tank for Tua.
Well, let
part
me ask.
Two,
part two. Yeah. Why are people thinking that Bill Belichick will want to prove his point again by latching himself onto another franchise level quarterback.
Well, when has he?
Right? So if you're Bill Belichick, is this really what you would be interested in doing? To prove that if indeed this is a battle of ego wits between you and Tom Brady?
Well, okay, I mean, it's a dumb take.
Of course, I'm going to tell you this
because when has Bill Belichick latched on to, from the beginning?
From the beginning.
Latched on to a franchise quarterback.
Right, exactly.
He opted to go with the unknown sixth-round pick, 199th pick overall, Tom Brady, over number one overall, Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, that's right.
Although, I mean, stuck with him.
When Bledsoe even got healthy, he stuck with
him.
There is that old saying, you don't lose your job to injury, unless the backup's playing really, really, really
well. Unless the backup was Tom Brady.
That's right. That's right. Terry Bradshaw, speaking to The Athletic on Brady going to Tampa, here's what he had to say. Why in the world does he want to keep on playing at 43 other than prove to New England he's more important than Bill Belichick? Bradshaw continued, that's the way I would look at it. Why the hell do you want to go to Tampa? The only thing I can think of is ego that it gets involved and you decide, I'll show him who's more important. I would never have done that. And I was shocked he was leaving. Shocked. I've never known a great quarterback at the end of his career go to another team and do anything. Now, Brady's different. 9 Super Bowl, 6 victories. He's a different cat. But the offense they ran in New England was perfect for him. Okay, a couple of things on this, and I'm not trying to go, like, Bradshaw was one of my idols as a kid. I mean, I loved Terry Bradshaw. But here's a couple of things on this. One, okay, I understand that a great quarterback has not done anything, and I understand that. But let's be honest.
Well,
Peyton Manning changed the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
Put them in the Super Bowl twice, put them in AFC Championship games, and Joe Montana led the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game. And, you know, had to leave San Francisco for Steve Young and went on to the Kansas City. He beat Pittsburgh, and I think they beat in the second round. Who did they beat in the second round? I can't remember. Maybe it was Oakland, I think, or Los Angeles. But they went and lost to the Bills in the AFC Championship game.
Which isn't a terrible
thing. Maybe it was Houston. I think it might have been Houston.
But it was during that time that the Bills were the toast of the AFC.
The juggernaut of the AFC, right.
Four straight. Come on.
So I don't want to say they go to another team and do anything. I mean, look, winning a Super Bowl is the be-all, end-all. We get that. Getting to a Super Bowl is the second be-all, end-all. But Peyton Manning did do that. Peyton Manning did go to 2 Super Bowls. He lost one and won one. He set a record. He set an NFL record for touchdown passes while he was with Denver. He made Denver the threat in the AFC the second he got there. Right? I mean, so it's an easy statement to say, yeah, all these quarterbacks, you know, if you're thinking of Joe Namath or Johnny Unitas, it's easy to go down that road. But there have been great quarterbacks who have done something else with another team.
That might be where his thinking
is. That might be his sentiment.
Those are his contemporaries.
That's probably true.
Or, and this is the take that this is the thing I take from it, steal a hatred for Patriots is deep.
It is deep. It is pretty deep. Now, here's the other thing. When he says the offense they ran in New England was perfect for him, and that is true, but that doesn't mean Bruce Arians is going to run something counter to what Brady can do. That's one of the reasons people are actually excited for Brady going to Tampa, was that Bruce Arians is a smart offensive guy that will reshape the offense with Byron Leftwich to what Brady can do and be successful at. They're not going to ask. We said this last week. They're not going to say to Brady, here's what Jameis Winston ran. Do the exact same thing.
Well,
chuck it 50 times a game.
Except, except for the interception.
Except for the interceptions. But, you know, they're not going to run the exact same offensive formation that Jameis Winston was given the keys to. That's not Brady's
game.
You
know, it would be fun if Bruce Arians came out to Tom Brady and goes, hey, what we want to really go for, Brady, Lamar Jackson style of play, I think, could suit you.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Just run as fast as you can. Just as fast as I can, as fast as you can.
I mean, because let's face it, Lamar Jackson's just a poor man's Taysom Hill anyways.
That's right. That is so true. That is awesome. Oh, my God. Those crazy people. We're all going crazy quarantine.
Yeah, you know, speaking of crazy quarantine, can you tell me a little something about what's going on with your quarterback?
Which is Ben Roethlisberger? Why he looks
Duck
like
Dynasty?
Yeah, why he looks like he just came out of a cave?
How long has he been quarantined for?
I know. He does. He looks like a guy that's had a Montana ranch, like living in a house in Montana, sending cryptic notes to everybody in government.
No,
he looks unbelievable.
He basically looks like all of us when this is said and done.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is, if we want to know what we're going to look like, Ben Roethlisberger is your target.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all
going to
have weird-looking hair, just big, bushy beards. And, yeah, we're going to come out looking like Ben Roethlisberger.
And some reason Ben thinks this is working for him.
It's a great look.
Right? Look at me.
Is it a Pittsburgh look?
That might be, yeah, exactly. Yeah, working in the steel mills, eating Primanti Brothers sandwiches.
Yeah, he went from Duck Hodges to Duck Dynasty.
I know, no kidding.
But, yeah, he looks like he's been in a bunker.
He really does.
You know what? You know, I mean, crazy enough, and this will deter, if somebody went to Ben and said, hey, Ben, listen, you're looking a lot like Randy Quaid right now.
That's a great, yeah. Remember, Randy Quaid did this.
That would probably get him to shave immediately.
Maybe him, yeah.
Well,
I guess
maybe
so.
You don't have to.
Randy Quaid went nuts.
Yeah, he's. I don't know what happened. And the aliens got to Randy Quaid.
God. I don't know, man. There's some people who wear it well. I don't think this wears well with Ben.
No, like Brad Kessel.
Yeah, Brett Kiesel. Yeah.
Kiesel.
Yeah, he wears it really well.
He looks like he needs a. Yep. He looks full lumberjack.
Yeah, there's certain guys that carry that look really good.
Now, Roethlisberger, if he was to trim it up, you know, little closer to the skin, maybe not as long.
Yeah.
You know, not to the point where he's going to need constant adjustment to his chin strap. I think it would be fine for him.
Exactly. So
listen, I know what a beard does to your face when you've put on a few pounds.
I know.
It masks the double chin that you might have.
Yep. I got it on a good authority from my wife to never, ever grow a beard out because I did No Shave November for charity for a station I was working at. And she's like, when this is over, that's gone. She goes, that you don't look good in that. I go, thanks. I don't think I do. But here was the weird thing.
Tell her to get used to it.
My son has facial hair, and my wife was fighting against that. She's like, I don't want my baby boy to have a beard. And
of course.
Right? She did all that. So he shaved it off. And she said, no, actually, you look better with the beard. Yeah. She goes, you carried that look well. I said, I told him that. You're just late to the party. So he grew it back. And now he's got mama's approval that he can wear it like that forever.
Next are tattoos.
I know. That's what I'm worried about. That's where I'm going next. But you're 100% right about Ben. That it just, I don't know. Is he said he's doing this for some sort of charity or some sort of, I don't know, movie role that he might be doing?
I think he was just leading the rebellion with the mole people.
I think so, too.
Just popped up out of the cave and was just like, yep. Football season again. It's time for me to play 2.5 games.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I wonder if his wife said to him, hey, you know what? You should shave. And he goes, nope, not if I can't wear this helmet for real, I'm not shaving this off. Until I can wear this helmet for real, this stays. And he just turns into this, again, this recluse.
I guess maybe he's waiting for training camp to start. I mean, I got to imagine as a quarterback, that's got to be, you know, kind of hinders your abilities to play, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's had a decent career, and he's got a great beard, and he's a Harvard man.
I was going to say, he makes that work. I think here's the deal, Ben. Here's the deal. It's one thing to grow it all out and crazy. It's another if you trim it, make it look somewhat respectable, maybe kind of get a, you know, obviously we're social distancing, so you can't really get somebody to kind of work on the aesthetic beauty of the facial hair, but you know, maybe that's what you need to do instead of it just being like, I just woke up from a 1,000-year sleep. What's been going on? Yeah. Like, that's what Ben Roethlisberger looks like.
Country shut down? Wow.
Country shut down? What's up with all these motorized car things? I can't believe it. Like, he looks like Rip Van Winkle.
He does. I mean, it's
nuts.
It literally looked like he had crawled out of a cave.
Seriously, like 100 years. We still banning alcohol around here? Like, seriously.
What? Stores are delivering them now. That don't make no sense.
That make no sense. I'll go back to bed. But I don't know. Shave it for, you know, when this is all over, shave it for, have a big, I'm sure Pittsburgh people will love watching you shave it off on TV for charity.
Oh, yes. You know, do it for charity.
Eat it alive.
Have Make-A-Wish Foundation have kids with sharp scissors come to your chin and take care of it for you.
Exactly. All right, coming up, March Memories. We go back in time to 2003 and the championship run of the Syracuse Orange. That's next, SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is March Memories, and in lieu of the tournament, we go back in time to remember some of the better moments of the NCAA tournament. Before we get to this week, today's team, O'Reilly Auto Parts want to help you make your auto repairs, maintenance, and restoration projects easier, so when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the parts and supplies that you need to do to get the job done right the first time. So now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So today's team, the 2003 Syracuse Orange, who won the national title, the only one for Jim Boeheim, who had a lot of runs in the tournament, cut short, whether it was in the Final Four championship game or in the second round. Jim Boeheim had the Orange rolling in the 80s, part of the powerful Big East, but could not cut down the nets and did not cut down the nets until 2003 when he had a heralded freshman class and Carmelo Anthony, Jerry McNamara, as well as some veterans on that team. Hakeem Warwick was on that team, and they made their run and won the national championship. But in order to appreciate where Syracuse in the 2003 season was, you have to kind of look back on some of where the teams that Jim Boeheim had going into the tournament and how he failed to, again, win a title. You go back into the 80s, right? You go back into the 86 season, for example, where they lost to David Robinson and Navy in round number two as a number two seed. In 1987, they finally put the pieces together. They had Derek Coleman, Sherm Douglas, Ronnie Cicely. They made their run. They beat Providence in the Final Four. That was Rick Pitino and Billy Donovan. But then they lost to Indiana in the national title game. And if you're old enough to remember, or you know a little bit of your basketball history, that's the game Keith Smart knocked down the shot at the Superdome in New Orleans that gave Indiana and Bobby Knight the championship. That team was excellent. That team was led by Steve Alford, who was an Indiana Mr. Basketball, really good dead-eye outside shooter. But Syracuse had, again, Ronnie Cicely, who'd gone to play in the NBA, Sherm Douglas, Derek Coleman, and a team that could not get quite there. And then the next year, knowing he still had a very good basketball team, they had number three seed going into the tournament in 88, but they lost to a spunky Rhode Island team. And the one thing I remember about that game, it was in round two, a devastating loss for Syracuse, because Rhode Island had a player on their team whose father was blind. And CBS made a real point of showcasing the blind father at the game with his other son calling play-by-play it for his dad while he is listening to his son lead the Rhode Island Rams to a victory over a number three seed in the tournament. It was really heartwarming, except if you're a Syracuse fan, it was really kind of, you know, can't believe we're losing to this team. They would lose to other teams throughout the tournament. They got knocked out as a number two seed to Richmond in 91. They did get to the finals in 96. They lost to a number one Kentucky team, and that was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. By the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was the last national title to be played in a basketball arena. I think after that, they just started going to these football stadium conversions that we see now with like 70,000 right. people. But I think the Meadowlands, where the Nets played, whatever that was called, that was the last time we played in a basketball arena. So, but again, had teams that went to the Sweet 16, lost to Duke. Sweet 16, lost to Michigan State, right? Lost to Oklahoma State in the first round in 1999. Then they got to 2003. They were down 17 to Oklahoma State in round two. They rallied back, won that game, beat the Cowboys. Then they went on to beat Auburn, took down number one seed Oklahoma in their region, and then beat number one seed Texas in the Final Four. And then they would go on to play Kansas. Syracuse was a three seed that year. They won 30 games. Again, you have Carmelo Anthony on the team. You have Jerry McNamara on the team. You have Hakeem Warwick. You are well led by youth. You've also got some experience on that team as well. And they go on to beat Kansas. Now, what people remember about that game probably the most is the block that Hakeem Warwick had on Michael Lee. Michael Lee went into the corner. Kansas had a wide open look for three. And then here comes Hakeem Warwick out of nowhere to sort of block that and secure the victory for Syracuse. But it was a long time coming for this team. Carmelo Anthony would go on into the NBA, get drafted by the Denver Nuggets. He was the number three pick overall. And then Jerry McNamara sort of bounced around. McNamara he won the championship as a freshman, but he had a really interesting legacy, because you think if you are a freshman and you win the only title, you know, the only modern title in school history, you that would be more of your legacy. But the pride of Scranton, Pennsylvania had a different legacy too. In 2006, he led Syracuse to 4 wins in 4 days during the Big East tournament. He had a longer legacy than just winning a national title while he was with the Orange. But Akeem Warrick went on to play in the NBA, was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. You got a number of other players on that team that have had sort of different, you know, different runs of amateur, not amateur, but smaller professional leagues in college basketball. But this is one of the special teams, because when you think about it, this, again, this was a power program. This wasn't a program. This is very much similar to what Arizona's story was. A team that was always around, a team that was always in contention, a team that you would have picked to win it all in any bracket that Lute Olson had decent teams. And Syracuse was one of them. One of the only basketball pools I remember winning outright by myself was when I was in school in 1987, because I was one of the only kids in the who did this pool, and I think it was like $1 a piece, and so I didn't win all that much money, but who had Syracuse and Syracuse deep into the tournament. I had them winning the championship, and they played Indiana for the title. None of my friends did, so I picked up a lot of, you know, points. But that was really the only, you know, a lot of times I don't do particularly well on this because I overthink, and I think it's my sin, as I overthink the bracket. But again, he would have other runs in 2013. He took his team to the Final Four. Remember in 2016, this was down in Houston. They were a 10 seed going into the tournament. Remember this team? And again, that zone defense that's hard to prepare for if you're not used to it, like conference opponents. He took Syracuse to the Final Four, where they lost to North Carolina in Houston. A team that really was not built well to go to a championship or make a championship run, but the tournament is quirky enough that's what happens. They lost to Michigan in 2013 in the Final Four, but they never cut down the nets since 2003 and that championship run of Carmelo Anthony. And this is the thing. Carmelo Anthony is, you know, we look at his career and we see this incredible professional arc, right? In Denver. I remember when he arrived, right? The Nuggets were abysmal. And then he arrived, they started making the playoffs. But the caveat to that was the Nuggets would lose in round one. They had Carmelo Anthony, and they brought in Allen Iverson, and they had Kenyon Martin, but they always would lose in round one. And it didn't matter where they were. They would lose to Minnesota, or they would lose to the Lakers, or they'd lose to Utah. The Spurs twice. I mean, the Clippers. They were underachieving with the talent that they had. You know, no one thought they were NBA championship worthy, but my God, I mean, they couldn't get out of round one until the one year they did, where they played in the Western Conference Finals and lost to the Lakers. And then Anthony went to New York, and, you know, he's kind of had the jeers and the cheers, and he's been laughed at. But you win a national championship as a freshman, man. They've never taken that away from you.
And that's what Syracuse, before that happened, that's what Syracuse was really getting known for. I mean, they came close a couple of times, but they're always first, second round exit.
Yep.
Always.
And the talent that he had, I mean, the talent that Jim Boeheim had, Pearl Washington, one of the premier players of his time. And they could not use him to get past a good Virginia team or a good Georgia Tech team that was led by Mark Price, and Kenny Anderson. That was probably before Kenny Anderson's time, but, David Robinson. I mean, they lost to David Robinson at Navy. I mean, David Robinson is one of the premier basketball players, but that's all they had at Navy was David Robinson. And they found themselves on the losing. They got beat pretty badly by Navy in the second round in 86.
Yeah. So, well, I was also looking at 2005, 2006, where they had two first round exits, and they lost to number 13 Vermont, the number 12 Texas A&M.
Like, I remember when Vermont beat them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So do I.
Yep.
That was
one of the other, you know, the list of upsets of big seeds going in round.
But
down
that was always
one.
The thing. They never really lost. I mean, they would lose to the games that you knew they should have won.
That's right.
And that was their MO for a long time.
Had a lot of heartbreak, especially in the 80s. Ronnie Cicely, I think, is an underappreciated player. This is a guy that grew up in like war-torn Beirut or something like Lebanon or something. And in the 80s, I remember they asked him, they said, does the crowd noise bother you? And he goes, crowd noise? You never heard a bomb go off. It doesn't bother me at all. That was Ronnie Cicely.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now let's get out to our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Josh Alper joins us. Pro Football Talk, because the NFL continues to make a lot of news. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
All right, let's get to the draft in April. It looks like there's a plan in place to sort of do the draft, but do it business-wise, in-studio cut-ins. Is that something that the NFL is locked into, or is there a possibility that they'll cancel the draft given what we feel like is a sports culture where everything is getting canceled, whether it really should be or not?
I think they'll move forward with it. I think the fact they move forward with free agency, and obviously it's different, and you know, you're not seeing the visits and the big press conferences and things like that. I think they'll move forward because I think they're going to want to be in place to be able to do business in the summer and the fall if, you know, if everything lines up in a way that that's, you know, that's a realistic possibility. But I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be obviously we're in uncharted waters for all of these things with sports, but I do think they'll move forward.
In terms of the physicals that are suspended and the workouts and no pro days and whatnot, is there a way the NFL can sort of bring those processes back? Because that was a lot of pre-draft stuff. Can they bring it back in some capacity when we're free and clear of all this and continue to make the business work? Or is this just one of those things that is just going to disappear for at least this year?
I think it's gone for this year for sure. And I do think there probably will be some changes to the way business gets done in the future, just because I think there's just going to be differences in society. And I think it's too soon to know exactly what those things are. But I think for this year, they're absolutely done because there's no way between now and the draft that anything is going to open back up in that respect. And so I think teams will move forward. You know, you may see some creativity in terms of video workouts or other things for prospects to try and promote themselves in a way that they aren't going to be able to and would otherwise do. But I think that the normal course of business is done for this year.
All right, so let's get to the news of free agency and, then of course, some of the movement that happened last week, Tom Brady to Tampa. But it does leave this sort of question hovering around New England, again, a little early because we still don't know how it's going to all play out. But what's the feeling of where the Patriots might go at the quarterback position?
Well, I think for a lot of the things we're talking about the change in business and the, you know, off-season workouts, I think are going to be, if there are any off-season workouts, they're going to be, you know, curtailed. I think that you're looking at that quarterback room. Maybe they draft someone. Maybe they pick up a veteran who falls out. Like if Andy Dalton were to get released, if something like that were to happen, perhaps you revisit it. But I think you have Jared Stidham who knows the system, and you have Brian Hoyer who's been there often enough that they're going to feel comfortable putting him on the field. And I think that the fact that you didn't see them make some big move in another direction suggests that, you know, at least for now, they're comfortable going that way. And then again, wouldn't shock me if they add someone to that group, but I think you could really be looking at a Jared Stidham, Brian Hoyer quarterback battle, which seems crazy after 20 years of Tom Brady, but it's really going to be about comfort level. I think for a lot of teams, given how little work they're going to be able to get in before the summer, and who knows from there.
When people have been analyzing the why would Brady go to Tampa, Bruce Arians' name keeps coming up a lot as the big factor. What is Bruce Arians like as a coach in terms of the appeal of a guy like Tom Brady entering the final years of his career?
You know, Bruce Arians has always been a guy that players love to play for. He loves to take big risks. He loves to throw the ball down the field. He loves to, you know, open up the offense. You remember those years with Carson Palmer, obviously in Arizona, and how successful he was with Andrew Luck as a rookie, how successful he was as an offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. Quarterbacks like playing for him. I mean, you know, Jameis Winston threw a lot of interceptions last year, but he threw for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns. I think that that's what's very appealing about Bruce Arians. And then on the personality side, you know, you only need to watch one of his press conferences versus one of Bill Belichick's. It's a different, he's a different guy. And I think that's got to be appealing for a guy in Brady who was clearly looking for something different this year.
And staying with the quarterbacks, I mean, there's a couple of guys out there looking for homes, and we kind of just touched on it. It's a kind of a different, we're in a different place now where you can't go talk to a team or you can't visit a team or you can't have a physical done. Cam Newton is certainly, people are going to want to know about that. But where, like, do you see Jameis Winston, for example, as being a starter? Or does he have to chill a little bit before he gets back to a role like that?
I think he has to chill. I don't see where there's a starting job for him. At this point, I think you're looking at for him and for any other quarterback, you know, Andy Dalton, any other quarterback that has been a starter, you're looking at a situation like the one that Ryan Tannehill was in last year, the thing that Marcus Mariota did this year with the Raiders by signing there, that, you know, you're looking for a shot, perhaps for a quarterback who might be on shakier ground, and you can come in there and perhaps take over if things aren't working out well and earn yourself another job and earn yourself another big starting quarterback salary. But I don't see where Jameis Winston could go and start right now. I mean, for the game of musical chairs, it's pretty much stopped on the starting front. And now you're just looking for the best backup opportunity.
Phillip Rivers to the Colts, reuniting with Frank Reich. Is that something how much gas is in the tank for Rivers?
I think that's a really good question, because it really depends how much you think that some bad offensive line play contributed to his up and down play last season. It certainly wasn't a good season for Phillip Rivers based on what we've seen over the course of his career. But, you know, Indy's got a really good line. They're able to run the ball. They're able to take some of the pressure off of him that the Chargers weren't. The Chargers had good backs in Gordon and Austin Eckler last year, but the game seems to always come down to Phillip Rivers trying to throw his way in or into or out of trouble. And I think the Colts are going to be a lot more conservative. I think they're going to ask him to do a little bit less. And I think it's as good a spot as any for him to rebound. But I do think it's a real open question as to whether that's something that's possible.
The Rams cutting ties with Todd Gurley. This is always a Monday morning quarterback kind of thing, because you get this big contract, the production declines, you part ways with the player, and then people retroactively go, well, was it really, you know, was the contract initially worth it? How do you process that, Josh? Was the contract he signed at the time the right kind of money for that position? Or do we look back and go, yeah, that might have been a little nuts?
I think it's one that it is something that at the time you were looking at a player who had been the best offensive player in the league for, you know, more, almost two full seasons. One of the best offensive players in the league, and you were rewarding that, and it seemed logical, and, you know, and it going forward, it seemed like a fairly good chance he'd make good on that contract. But I just think we've seen too many running backs, you know, Devontae Freeman got released this offseason as well. We've seen too many running backs where they're not making it to the ends of these deals. And the way that Gurley deal was structured in particular, and in terms of kicking so much, you know, each year rolling guarantees that kicked into the next year, I think that's something that you can't do with a running back, because just too much changes, you know, too much can change overnight. One injury and all of a sudden you're looking at a guy who's middle of the pack and no longer elite, and you're still paying him that elite money.
So I remember about a week ago on this show, we were screaming to the high heavens about Bill O'Brien dealing DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona for David Johnson. And then the Brady news came. We just had to put that on the back burner. But I don't want to forget about it, because I have you here now a week later. A week later, is there any sense that is still made on that trade?
There's no sense on the purely football side. There's no way to spin it that it's a good football move for the Texans. But I think it was being made because of contracts and because, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wants more money with 3 years left on his current deal. And that's a precedent teams don't like to set. And it's certainly an issue for a team that has Deshaun Watson coming up on a contract and Laremy Tunsil needs a new deal. But I think that it's something that was handled poorly. I don't see the rush to make that deal and get that return. I can't imagine that was really the best they could have done. And if it really was, then I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth trying to figure out a way to mend this bridge for at least another year and then revisit things? Because I think the Texans are worse for having made that deal. And I think the Cardinals are looking like a really appealing team heading into, you know, the second season with Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, because a lot of people were pointing out, including us, that look, the Buffalo Bills sent a lot of picks to Minnesota for Stephon Diggs, and he's not on the same level as DeAndre Hopkins, and it's almost like you got nothing for one of the best offensive players in the league.
Yeah, I really agree with that.
Yeah.
So I totally agree. I think that David Johnson has not played at a high enough level the last 2 years to justify that kind of, that he's going to all of a sudden bounce back there. And the second round pick is, it's nice to have a second round pick, but I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins.
Me too. Josh, great talking to you. This is weird times, but the NFL does keep going along. I really appreciate your time, my friend.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
You got it. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk on a Progressive guest line. And again, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Some more thoughts on what Josh said about the way the league is handling business. And not as usual, definitely not as usual, but handling business nonetheless. SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Modern automobiles have over 65 computers and an average price over $36,000. But I still get emails from people that go to the auto parts store to diagnose their car. Folks, why go to an auto parts store to fix your car? Most of the employees are just kids and have no tech training. If they could fix cars, they'd be out doing it and making more money. All they do is look at a $30 code reader, give you the trouble code, and some of the parts that could cause it. And would you like fries with that? I know they want to sell parts, but the parts they sell aren't original parts and they fail all the time. But people still fall for this. The same people go to the first aid aisle at Walmart when they suspect a heart attack. Come on, please go to a shop you trust with certified technicians to get a quality repair with a warranty. Spend your money wisely. This is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com and find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
The Jeep Celebration event is here, and we're inviting you to get great deals on the SUVs built to stand the test of time, which means more time to discover all that awaits in the luxurious Jeep Grand Cherokee with available premium leather trim seats and real wood accents, as well as Harman Kardon audio. More time to go beyond the ordinary to places that can only be reached with the help of Jeep Cherokee's legendary capability. More time to drive off into the sunset and into the next sunrise with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. And, of course, more time taking in some rays while taking advantage of the open-air freedom of Jeep Renegade with available MySky open-air sunroof. Time is the ultimate test, and your time to enjoy great deals at the Jeep Celebration event is running out. Jeep is a registered trademark.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks to Josh Alper for joining us from Pro Football Talk. You know, that must be nice to at least be covering a sport right now today that is still making news and doing business.
But it's your planned time too.
Yeah.
You didn't plan on covering games during this time anyways. It's all news and speculation and, rumors.
Yeah. I feel bad for my brethren who cover the NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball and soccer and stuff. And golf.
They're chilling just out.
Twiddling their thumbs, just kind of chilling out right now. And, because again, I am every day that we prepare this show and put this show together, I want to talk news of the day. And it doesn't always have to be, this is canceled, this is canceled, this is canceled. You know, there is still news that pops up.
There's something finally is canceled.
Yep. Olympics are actually officially done. Yeah. That was quick, man. That was quick.
Well, they're postponed to 2021.
2021. I know. I keep using canceled and I hate using the term.
Sometime in 2021. We don't know when.
So, again, to recap that story, the Olympics on Sunday 2 days ago, said, all right, we're going to form a committee and we're going to take 4 weeks and we're going to talk to all of these different people and we're going to evaluate their decisions to determine where we're going to be in late July for the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo. So we're going to go do our due diligence. Thank you for checking with us. And we'll be about a month. Like 24 hours later, Dick Pound is like, yeah, it's done. It's done for this year. We're out. We're going to be doing it in 2021. And then the IOC goes, okay, fine. We were going to have a month to kind of chill, make some phone calls, maybe not make some phone calls, spend a little money we didn't have, all that good.
Listen, Dick Pound dropped the hammer.
Yeah, he certainly did. He certainly did. He called USA Today and was like, yeah, this is all crap. We know. Yeah, it's
we're done.
We're done for 2020. Click.
It's over.
Yeah. They tried to sell us and they were going to take a month to figure this out.
Yeah, you just gave it time. Why worry? It could still happen.
It could still happen.
The pandemic that took a while to really, you know, annihilate the world could just be gone in a blink of an eye.
See, my hope is by the time we get to the Summer Games when they were supposed to take place, everything is kind of rolling again.
Yeah.
You know, we've got baseball back.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We're running some NASCAR. The golf is going on. But we still will go. But you know what? This is probably still not the best year to be doing the Olympics. It's still the right decision.
It is. You know? I mean, you're bringing too many people from too many different places.
That's right.
And like you and I pointed out, we want to see them at the top of their game.
Absolutely. Give me the best.
Most fit, shape possible.
If I'm going to watch archery once every 4 years, you better be the best damn archers on the planet. That's all I've got to say about that. And badminton, too. You better be the best badminton players on the face of the earth. That's what I want in Tokyo in 2021.